It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It is Thursday. Don't forget, we're going to 306 today, 4.4%. More Rick Emerson. And starting Monday, it's a four-hour show. We start at 11 a.m. Monday through Friday, starting Monday. Also, Stephanie Miller going an hour longer. Stephanie Miller till 10, and this program 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. starting Monday. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll, in just a moment, we'll welcome Jim Roop to the Rick Emerson Show. Kristen from accounting will join us here in a few as well. We'll talk about last night's Rockstar Supernova. Which is fantastic. We will go back to the city desk with Tim Riley in about 10 seconds. Don't forget, we've got the hell else. I had something else I was going to talk about. Oh, this vending machine thing, which I did sort of tease at the beginning. Now I'm losing track of what I even told mailman Chris I was going to get to. I think I got to get to the vending machine thing today. Hold on, let me find that. Because Carol at the front was telling me about this, that apparently they're revamping all the contents of the kitchen vending machine here. And they've given us a long list. Because there's nothing more fascinating than listening to somebody read a long list of items that are going to be put in a machine somewhere. The company gave us a list of everything that they stock, everything that they are offering to put in the machine. And so we'll kind of go through. And there's stuff on here that, like you wonder who buys certain things. Like, you do have to wonder who buys Kellogg's Nutri-Grain breakfast bars. It's just...
They're good.
Really?
Yeah, they're better than all the crap that's in there.
Let me ask you this. Who really would
People love crap.
But you know what people love? And you can look on the side and see what people have been voting for. Because the deal is, they've put this list at the front, and it's a list of all of the food items that the vending company has, all the options. And then next to it, you put a check next to the items you are most interested in, and you can see, you know what the most vote-getting item is so far?
Yo-yos.
I don't even know what that is.
Ding-dongs.
Is a yo-yo like a bugle?
No, a yo-yo is like a ding-dong in some areas of the country. Not to be confused with a ring-ding.
Scotty, this was right there. That doesn't even... Is a yo-yo like a bugle? No, yo-yo is like a ding-dong. Maybe a yoo-hoo.
No, a ring-ding.
Okay. No, the vote-gettingest item so far would be cheddar bacon... Not tater skins.
Pig's feet.
No. No, it's not tater skins. It's tato skins.
Ugh.
See, that's what I mean. First of all, I don't like to eat anything that contains the phrase skins. It just
Always
seems...
not want much.
Apparently they don't have any toddler skins. Tato skins, a cheddar and bacon variety. Let's see, what else is a huge... And then something called a Ruger wafer. A Ruger wafer sounds like an unpleasant European food, probably made out of dirt.
Like goat jerky.
Exactly. So anyway, we'll come back to this here at some point. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Los Angeles. Holding it down for the left coast, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
I'm well. May I just say,
yes,
for me, I don't eat anything from a chicken called a nugget.
That's anything that comes from a part of the body that's anything that doesn't come from a scientifically labeled section of the animal, I'm going to choose not to put into my mouth.
I don't eat any shank portions of anything either.
Isn't a shank when a guy gets killed in the joint?
I don't know. Butt portion, shank portion, I stay away from all that stuff.
I don't even know. I thought a shank was like a shiv.
I don't know, babe. All I know is I stay away from it.
Okay. A shank was like, you know, it's like when you take a toothbrush and you're rubbing it on the floor of the joint because there was some guy giving you guff over a carton of Cools. Or
tenderloin, too. I don't touch anything called loin.
Loin is an... Because isn't loin like... isn't that like your business?
Yes.
So when you're buying tenderloin, are you just buying the business part of a cow?
Yes, you are. Well, of whatever it is.
It's all very unnerving.
It's just terrible.
And then they're offering something here called root chips. I find the word root to be unpleasant as well.
No, it's Roop.
Jim Root.
Roop chips would be very nasty to eat, too.
This conversation's taking a very strange
That'd
turn.
That'd be cannibalism.
Yes,
I apologize.
Let's pull ourselves back onto the main menu.
I'm happy.
And why? Is that because John Carr is off your hands?
Because this whack job is gone.
And
he's
so
in the hands of Special Ed McCarthy.
Ed McCarthy, but he's not even really in the hands of Ed McCarthy, because McCarthy told me that as of they drew straws or they did, you know, whatever, like somebody failed to say not it. And so Gary Baumgarten is now the guy that has to go cover. And Baumgarten... You know, a lot of people have children, but Baumgarten always seems just on the knife edge of mental collapse about any story that involves children. And all, I'm just telling you, man, if it, all this John Mark Carr guy is going to have to say is that he would, like, surf MySpace, and you're going to find a gun hidden under Gary Baumgarten's coat.
Is Baumgarten going to Boulder?
Baumgarten is going to Boulder.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And, you know, it's so it's like a whole lot
allowed,
of...
He's not allowed west of the Mississippi, is he?
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be like one of those 80s detective films where the rough and tumble New York guy has to come to, like, Iowa.
Oh, good gosh.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. So, and I, and it's all the same stuff we've been saying.
You ever see that movie Insomnia?
With Robin Williams.
No. It's with Al Pacino.
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino was a detective.
Oh, I'm thinking of One Hour Photo.
Yeah, Al Pacino was a detective investigating a murder in the wilds of Alaska or some crap.
Right, it's a remake of a foreign film, which I also did not see. Yes.
Anyway, that's what it's going to be like.
It's just going to be one of those things where it's, you know, he's...
There'll be an opening for a New York correspondent in the next week or two.
He's going to get to Boulder, and it's going to be like 5:05, and he's going to want to find something open, and everything's just going to be... Everything's going to be rolled up and locked.
Oh, Baumgarten carries a flask. He's smart.
This case, man, no one is going to come away with this clean. No one's going to come away with this from this case clean, because with every passing day now, it's just there's something. God, we had the most horrifying quote. Let me find it, because it's one of those things I got to tell everybody, because I don't want it to be in my head alone. Where this guy said, this is an Associated Press quote, where he said, sexually, I am a wolf. I mean, first of all, when you look at that guy, wolf is the first word that comes to mind. He looks all rough and tumble and whatnot. But, I mean, and then he ran a daycare center in Alabama. And, you know, he told this guy in Thailand, he's like, now the DNA is not going to match, of course, but I'm still your man. He reminds me, John Carr is so desperate to be convicted. He reminds me of that guy who was online a few years ago in Germany, desperate to be eaten by someone.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is, right? That's sort of the legally speaking, he just can't wait for somebody to cut him up and eat him, because that's what's going to happen.
Well, for Boulder officials to say that the investigation is still in its early stages, yet take possession of him now, because they had until September 6th, another week and a half.
Right.
But now, as soon as he touches down in Colorado, they have 72 hours with which to charge him. And if they don't, he's going to walk.
Right.
And then he will be in Boulder, and then there will be some problems.
Well, can you imagine, now I'm just getting into crazy conspiracy theories, but I mean, this guy obviously had this huge fixation on this case. Didn't 5 years ago in California, didn't he, as they say, come to the attention of authorities?
Yes.
For what, exactly?
He was under investigation for child pornography. And in that investigation, they found this unusual obsession with JonBenet Ramsey in trying to connect him to the Polly Kloss thing, because he moved his family to Petaluma right around the time Polly Kloss was kidnapped and murdered. And so they were investigating him. They found all this stuff about JonBenet Ramsey, and they alerted the Boulder folks that they found all this stuff. And I guess they started to investigate him back then, and it surprises me if it took them 5 years to put something together. That's pretty lame as far as investigations go.
Your tax dollars at work. Does it? Let me ask you this, because I haven't heard anybody raise this possibility as such. Has it occurred to anybody? Because everybody said, well, maybe he didn't want to go to prison in Thailand. Understandable. And so he thought he'd cop to something to get a free ticket out of Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, well, he's a nutcase, attention seeker. We've all kind of heard that. Is it possible, do you think, has anybody floated the possibility that this guy is not guilty of the crime, but does have some weird, perverse, what did he say, JonBenet and I were in love, that he is in this weird, sick, horrible way in love with JonBenet Ramsey and just wants to make sure that his name shows up linked to hers for the rest of time?
Could very well be. That's a very good theory.
I mean, I haven't heard anybody sort of put it in those terms, but then maybe that's it, that it's like this is the closest he'll get to being with her, is making sure his name shows up in the same paragraph as hers now from now on, because it will.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's very good.
You know what? You can have that idea, Jerome.
Thanks, well.
You can claim that that's a Roop original, my friend. I got a million of them.
Or you have a million Roop originals? Or
I'm just saying.
A million
saying,
originals that you can dole out to people.
I'm saying, you know, it's, you know, just one of many small bits of wisdom that generates itself during the day here. So
I saw an interview with a man who claims he knew Carr's family.
Uh-huh.
His mom was an evangelistic preacher.
Oh, that's hard to believe.
And that she started being delusional and thought that demons had possessed her children.
Right.
You know, and the old man was kind of wacky, too.
Yeah.
So he apparently comes from a long line of disconnects.
He comes, as I do, a long line of people who shouldn't have children or be around them. My parents were some of those people. They just didn't figure it out until it was too late.
I know my dad was.
That's what I'm saying. All right, my friend. Well, I'm glad you were free of this case. Are you on the job tomorrow?
Yes.
All right. So tomorrow we'll probably talk a little bit about the Emmys because you are headed there on Sunday.
I am heading there. That's probably why I'm not going to Boulder.
All right. Well, I got to tell you, it's the grand scheme of things. I think we're all going to be hearing enough about this JonBenet Ramsey case over the next 18 months to fill us all. I think we could do with some Emmys.
Yeah. If I was running the network, I would say let's leave this one alone.
Yeah. It's just going to be. There's going to be no getting away from it here in a short while.
I completely agree.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Take care.
Thank you. There you go. CNN correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles. All right. Let's do this. Let's go to the city desk. And then we'll do a couple stories. We'll bring on Kristen from accounting. We'll talk Delana Smackdown. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Good afternoon. Sagging pants may become illegal in a Dallas, Texas area if a school board member gets his way. District Trustee Ron Price is calling the city council to allow police to issue tickets for public lewdness to anyone who wears their pants so low their underwear is exposed. Price said that people who wear sagging pants are tarnishing the city's good image. New Orleans resident General Jackson said a similar ordinance in place in New Orleans doesn't work.
They already got that in New Orleans and we still sag, you know what I'm saying? We just buy a tall t-shirt, you know what I'm saying, put it over that and we still sagging under it.
Who is this we just heard from?
New Orleans resident Jamal Jackson said a similar ordinance is in place in New Orleans.
All right.
But they're not enforcing it.
Okay.
Meanwhile, trustee Ron Price said that people who wear sagging pants are tarnishing the city's image.
To be in a world-class city, you need to walk around with class.
Okay.
Jamal Jackson says he likes his baggy britches.
People walking around our city with their underwear being exposed.
I'm so confused. Are these all in the wrong order?
I guess so, for some ridiculous reason.
Let's try the story again, and I'll try playing these in a different order. We'll see if it makes sense.
All right.
Let's just pretend that whole thing never happened. Let's take it from the top.
All right. Sagging pants may become illegal if a Dallas school board member gets his way. School district trustee Ron Price is calling for the city council to allow the police to issue tickets for public lewdness to anyone who wears their pants so low their underwear is exposed. Price said that people who wear sagging pants are tarnishing the city's image. New Orleans resident Jamal Jackson said a similar ordinance in place in New Orleans just doesn't work.
They already got that in New Orleans, and we still sag.
Okay, this one is right.
We just buy a tall t-shirt, you know what I'm saying, put it over that, and we still sagging under it.
Okay, that one's right.
So, let's try this one. Jamal Jackson says he likes wearing his baggy britches.
People walking around our city
now,
with
God
their underwear.
Damn it, I've done it.
Being exposed.
All right, never mind. I'm done with this story. Let's move on. It does bring up this awkward moment from yesterday, though.
Yes.
Sarah and I were out in the hallway, and there was this sort of awkwardness where, because Sarah wears the low-rise jeans. Is that what they're called?
Oh, and my underwear was sticking out.
And the underwear, not just sticking out, but sort of bunched.
They were kind of my little boy short underwear. They kind of get bunchy sometimes.
They're not really little boys' underwear. We should clarify this. But they're sort of sticking out and sort of bunched up, sort of like a little. And it's like you don't want to point that out or whatever. So
all right, here's.
But you did.
But I did.
Because, yes.
Well, because I better that I pointed out than better you hear it from me than on the street. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's go to Florida where the stories are.
No. Oh, God damn it. Yeah, never mind.
Well, a Hollywood, Florida man was arrested for allegedly using an aluminum bat to beat a man working with him on a landscaping crew. 21-year-old Lance Wormsley confronted 23-year-old Eric Torres because
genius.
Wormsley didn't like the way he was cutting the grass. The two got in a fight that a co-worker broke up. Authorities say Wormsley went to a strike and came back with a bat. He allegedly threatened Torres and another co-worker who tried to intervene. Torres was hit several times on the chest, back of head, and his arm before a co-worker took a hammer and stood between the two and broke up a fight.
Fantastic.
Meanwhile, when Hitler's Cross restaurant opened 4 days ago in a Bombay suburb, local politicians and movie industry types are on hand to celebrate. Beneath the posters of the Nazi leader and swastikas The owner insisted then, and still does, that the name and theme of his new eatery is only meant to attract attention, even though it outraged several people. It really made people upset that a person responsible for the massacre of 6 million Jews be glorified, said one. It's just to attract people. We have no intention of hurting anyone, said the owner. Meanwhile, it's time to go to a Britney watch.
Ah, okay.
I think I did it again.
I got two of these.
Ow. Okay.
Britney Spears may have crooned her way to the successful pop career to top, but as far as her literary talent is concerned, well, she's at a bargain basement now. Her highly acclaimed book, Stages, in the stage of its own struggle, the book featuring 103 pages of an all-access glimpse of the American singing sensation of other people closest to her.
103 pages?
103 pages. Well, she's had quite a life. It officially wound up selling in the 99-cent only stores.
Bam!
It was published after her 21st birthday back in 2002. Spears was under intense media scrutiny. Because of that, she decided to take a step back, reflect, and publish a book.
Isn't this like the third book she's published?
Yep.
Because she put out that novel with her mom, right? And then her mom... Didn't she and her mom write a novel together?
They may have.
God, how do you know that?
Because I'm an idiot. Because I pander to the lowest common denominator. Because I am all that I once despised. I'm pretty sure that Britney Spears and her mother, Lynn Spears?
Yes, I believe that's correct. Yes.
I believe that Britney and Lynn Spears, at one point, wrote a romantic, sort of a romance novel. It was loosely autobiographical.
Sure, that's
Lynn Cheney. And somebody, yes. I'm pretty sure that Britney Spears wrote a novel. And then her mom wrote a book by herself, and it was like blah, 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 lessons in life and love or whatever. And so this would actually be the third book that Britney Spears has written.
Well, anyway, it's the hottest selling book at the 99-cent store, selling out in less than 2 weeks.
Do you ever go to the 99-cent store, and there's just the weirdest products there, though? Like, just the strangest melange of just all kinds of, bit like, seaweed-flavored this and, like, and like pink flamingo-shaped that. Just stuff that doesn't make any sense at all.
Gooseberry margarine.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It will just be like applesauce Pop-Tarts. Things that aren't terrible as such.
Chocolate-covered acorns.
Yeah, they... It's just two good things that aren't horrible together. They just don't make a lot of sense. And that's exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, what happened... I went there... Well, the one next to my house a couple of weeks ago and bought four batteries for a dollar. And the cashier goes, no, you want this one. She gave me 16 for a dollar. So
those are some quality batteries, I'm sure.
I loaded them into my CD player, and it lasted between Orenco and Beaverton Station. So I have a bag full of these batteries. If I want to make it back and forth to work, I have to change them at least a half dozen times. But they're only a dollar.
So it's a net win still.
It is.
Okay.
Part two.
Okay.
Of what? Britney Spears.
I wish I was dead. Okay.
Britney Spears has also said she planned to take her kids on tour after struggling to leave son Preston at home.
Oh, yeah. Nothing says exciting rock and roll excess like taking your children on tour. Career over.
She had been recording and finds it increasingly hard to tear herself away from Preston. I've been going to the studio lately. I've been trying out some different nannies. It's hard to leave Sean. I'm all worn out now. Yeah, said her second child will really wear her out, especially next month.
I wish Britney Spears would shut the hell up. That's what I wish. And I'll guarantee you this. I'll guarantee you that every mom, single or not, out there that's taking care of a couple kids on a minimum wage job wishes Britney Spears would die in a fire. I'll guarantee you that right now. All right. That's the phrase of the day. Shut the hell up, Britney Spears. Okay, there's your Britney watch for whatever this is, Thursday.
Before you go, there's something I want you to have.
See, my problem is this.
Oh, it just doesn't make any sense. Hey, Kristen, how you doing?
Yeah, great.
Hi. I'm sorry, it's not my fault, baby. We go with Britney Spears news and JonBenet and Vince.
Yeah, no, that's just dandy.
Tato Skins.
It is the best show ever.
It really is. Wait, you're being sarcastic, aren't you?
No, I'm always serious.
Before we break and then we come back to talk about Rockstar Supernova, let me ask you this. Am I the only one who feels this way about Frosted Circus Animal Cookies? Do you feel, as I do, Kristen,
yes,
that when you are eating Frosted Circus Animal Cookies, They're really good, really good, really good, and then you have one too many, and they begin, it's like ass.
Yes.
They become crap.
That is completely true. I have said that myself.
Not unlike eating bacon.
And you can't gauge when that one cookie will happen.
Exactly. It's like the other food there's three foods that I can think of that are like this way, where it's good, 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 and one of them is the Frosted Circus cookies.
Yes. Tim, I totally know what he's talking about with the yo-yos and the ring-dings.
Okay, well, yeah, you
it's an East Coast thing.
It's an East Coast thing. It's like a tasty cake thing.
Yeah.
The second food, bacon. Bacon, bacon, bacon. Ugh. And you go one too many pieces of bacon, and the whole thing just goes to hell.
Well, what are you eating? A pound of bacon?
On a good day, I can
frosted animal cookies.
Frosted bacon. That's I got it at the 99-cent store. Sir, do you have this bacon with sprinkles on it? Do you have this? Can I get this bacon with Jimmy's?
Jimmy's.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Tell me, I don't know East Coast.
Language.
Yeah. And the third thing, movie theater popcorn. Yeah, movie theater popcorn.
Yeah.
Here is it. The first few handfuls of movie theater popcorn are the best thing it's the best thing you've ever had. And then you get about 2/3 of the way through the bag, and it's just like you're eating rancid wax. You know it's true.
I know it's true. You're absolutely right on
that. Who buys movie theater popcorn?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Hold on a second. Kristen, don't. I know we're so behind, but Kristen, just stay right there for a second.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except.
You're not going to America.
To find out why he's typing this.
Squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty J on the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
Doing great.
Okay,
today.
What is this?
He's got to go real fast, and I thought it would be great if you could talk to him real fast.
This is our delivery driver?
Yeah.
Our vending machine man?
Yeah, and he is a delivery driver.
Why are you winking at me?
He wants you to play the sounder.
I'm not playing the sounder.
Okay. Well, you should get the call, though. He had some interesting things.
Jesus Christ. Eric.
Yes.
Hello, sir.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How can I help you today?
Well, I just said I'm the new guy that's coming in there at the office. The one you got the sheet there that you're running through on the air?
Oh, yeah. We're looking through the list of tato skins and whatnot, yeah.
Right, tato skins, big seller.
Hey,
so anyway, I was just saying...
Let me ask you this. If I bribed you, could I get you to overlook this list of what the office wants and just stock what we want?
Dude, I've been a loyal listener. You got the inside track.
Will you put goldfish crackers in there?
Oh, that's a
I used to eat those every morning at Coin.
Oh, goldfish crackers. Wait a minute. See, I don't really care for those, but I like what I'm hearing.
Just write it in there. Write it in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now look, there's this. Look.
Is it an option?
Well,
the list
we are
got
the option.
There is just sort of like the basic list. It's like Snickers, Doritos, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
All right.
From there on, you can add whatever, you know, ring-dings, whatever you guys think, and then I just try and track them down and put them in there.
Okay,
if they sell, they keep them. If they don't sell, then, you know, sorry.
So let me ask you this, Eric. So we've got this list at the front desk of the people who are voting on it now. How should we note to you which items we have put on the list so you know to give them special preference?
Well, you can put like a... or E next to it or something. And then I know it was from you.
How about we'll put
a pentagram next to it.
I was just going to say a little pentagram. Look at that. Okay, so Eric, we will write a little tiny pentagram to the left of our choices so you will know to, you know, kind of make it so.
Possessed candies.
All right, yes. Scott, just for that, I will not play the delivery driver sound, sir. I will not play. Oh, just shut your hole.
That's a gift, Scotty.
Yeah, you got to work for it. All right, thank you, Eric. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you, sir. There you go. That's Eric. All right, Kristen, we'll be back in a second to talk Rockstar.
Absolutely.
All right, there you go.
See, it was worth the call. Might be a Sky Bars.
Leave now. Thank you. All right. All right, back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. When we come back, Rockstar, Supernova. Don't go anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time once again.
Attention.
and residents of the greater metropolitan Portland area and surrounding cities and suburbs. The Rick Emerson Show is issuing a severe storm watch in your area.
First and foremost, I am a performer. I take command of the stage, I take control of the show, and give everybody a good time.
Storm, did it freak you out to be the first performer tonight?
I like being first. I am unafraid.
Time for your storm watch and rock star recap. Let's welcome back to the Rick Emerson Show, Kristen from accounting.
Hello.
Hey, hello. Sorry, did I interrupt a private moment?
No, not at all.
All right, just checking.
I'm sitting with my friends in the engineering department because they're the only ones that understand.
Tim Riley wants to know, Tim Riley's speculation during the news was that you had a rather liberal work schedule over there since apparently we're able to have you on for hours at a stretch without any negative repercussions.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, no one's listening.
I'm starting to be a little more cautious, though.
Is there streamlining happening at K2?
No.
Oh, I'm
not
sorry.
That I know of.
Oh, I didn't read about that either. Sorry. All right, well.
And, you know, Rick, I do have to mention, though.
Yes.
I have received text messages from someone who shall remain anonymous who wants to know when you started laughing like a girl.
I've always laughed like a girl.
That you're snorting too much.
The snorting, I don't know that I've always noticed.
That's a recent acquisition on your part.
I do. Well, I've always done it. And I've tried to temper it down on the air, but I found that when I tried to, because here's the thing, two things. My natural laugh has two embarrassing manifestations. One is that I have a high-pitched giggle.
Yes, you do.
The second is that I snort. Early on, it was drilled into me by a lot of program directors. He said, "Joe, your natural laugh sounds gay and retarded. Don't do it." Mm-hmm. And so I tried to compensate by doing a lot of, Ed McCarthy, which just sounds fake and retarded.
Although you did sound rather manly talking about football last hour, about the Dick Butkus thing.
Dick Butkus.
He was a bear.
No,
that was awesome.
I'm pretty sure that he was. Am I right about that?
Yes, I believe you are correct.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So over time, though, I have tried. And I think Howard has talked about this, too, that he had a lot of the top 40 mannerisms drilled into him as well. Over time, I've tried to lose a lot of the early stupid radio mannerisms under the theory that my own mannerisms, while stupid, are at least mine.
That's true.
So that's the thing. If you think I snort and I have a high-pitched giggle, if you want to hear a guy with an embarrassing laugh, my brother James.
Oh.
And it's more embarrassing because, as I constantly note, he's a huge, ripped-out, six-pack Marine and he's all shaven-headed and with Chinese characters on his neck.
We need to hear that on the air.
When he giggles, he sounds like a five-year-old girl. And I know how to make him laugh, too, because I've known him his whole life. I can make that guy laugh, and he sounds like a tiny little Japanese anime character. It's funny. It really is. So, anyway, I'm just a loser.
Speaking of Japanese anime characters, how about that Delana?
Bada-bing! How satisfying was that last night?
That was so wonderful.
It was waves of happiness.
Oh, it was so great.
Through the room.
I don't even know. I got all of this Delana stuff to play here.
Although, you know what really is disappointing, though, is, aside from her attitude, I wish somebody would say just one thing about her performance not being the best thing ever.
Yeah.
I think somebody made that comment to her last night, though. Wasn't there somebody who said, "You just do the same thing over and over again"?
Yeah, that was Magni or someone when she was saying, being a bitch to them and saying, "Well, I step it up every week. Why don't you guys try and do something different?"
And
Magni or Toby.
And I think it was when she said, like, "The audience has been with me since the beginning."
Mm-hmm.
And I think somebody was like, "You do the same thing every week."
Well, and then she said to Magni, "Why don't you stay out of it for a change?"
Totally.
And that's when he said that to her. You're absolutely right, Sarah.
Yeah. Let me play a couple of these here. This is a little bit of Delana last night.
When they returned to the mansion, Delana had more to add about Ryan's performance.
I just want to say, Ryan, you would have been nothing today without that house band. Because they kicked ass on that song.
Thanks. Delana says, that was great, but, without the house band, it wouldn't have been that great. And I'm thinking, what?
You rocked.
Oh, thanks.
Without that house band.
No. Don't use a negative.
No, that's the way I want to say it.
Try it without the negative. It'd be nicer. It's like, come on, just let me have a moment. Let me have 1 second.
You know what? I'm getting more votes than you, Ryan.
Because you're prettier?
No, because from week one, I gave everything I had.
Oh, whoa.
No, I'm not getting a dig at you.
Well, not me too.
I'm not getting a dig at any... Can you for 1 second not interrupt?
Do you think that's where the fans came from, the first night?
Yes, I do. They're from week one are still strong, strong fans.
We're growing. You're just doing the same thing over and over again.
Right there.
Now, is that Magni?
That was Magni. Yeah.
I need eyelashes.
It's easy for her to critique other people's songs and stuff, but there's something to be modest. There's something to be graceful. And there's something to show respect to others, others below you, others above you. And to me, that's what a real winner is.
And then he made a great comment about, like...
It's so true. Like, when you're on the top, don't kick the people below you. Because if she is so aware that people have been voting for her since the first week... She doesn't need to be doing that.
She just screams lack of confidence and insecurity.
And that's what she's kind of projected from the very beginning.
Right.
Because she's had that, you know, from the first week, she was kind of like, well, I didn't want to get the, you know, she didn't want to get the first encore. And she seemed uncomfortable with it.
Totally.
And so she hasn't known from week one. She hasn't brought it every week knowing that she was doing well. She's been struggling the same as the others.
Here's a little bit of Dave Navarro talking to her about this.
The Windows Live Spaces.
Oh, this whole thing is just such a huge... Could you hear the ka-chinging as they were talking about the window Live Spaces thing?
Did you hear Storm,
the internet
too?
Totally.
Is becoming a major, major part of music today.
Oh, okay. Is
and
it?
Having
thank
that
you, Philo Farnsworth.
It hasn't been
fans,
a long time already.
Yeah, also those ice wagons are really
there's
simple.
Nothing like it in the world. You can work with your fans. You guys are now experiencing...
All right, I'm going to skip the whoring here and go right to... let's see. This is Delana Ridge.
First of all, Ryan, I love you. And
wasn't
I apologize that it came across like that. Obviously, this week, I'm the big bitch. You know, I would hate to be on tour... with anybody and share the stage. I want to be the singer for a band. I don't want to be one of two singers in a band.
Okay.
Sharing
well, let me ask you this. Were you joking when you told Ryan that he would be nothing without the house band?
No, I was not joking. I mean, yes, I was so sorry. No, I did not mean what I said.
Because the reality is, what would any of you be without the house band? In this competition, are you maybe just a little bit threatened by the dark horse?
Not at all. No.
So there you go.
Dave wasn't so douchey last night.
That was the first time Dave's ever gotten any, like, positive.
And he was the only one who talked, either. Did you see not a peep from anybody else?
She's the worst combination, too, where she is... a bitch, and then backs down when pushed on it. Mm-hmm. You know, which
and then tries to backpedal and say, that's not really what I said.
Well,
what I really meant to say was that, you know...
Yeah, she's like, well, I won't apologize. And then he's like, really? So you weren't joking? She's like, well, I wasn't joking either. So, she said that she was sorry, but then that she was, you know, not joking. And so she's just such a whore about it, tries to backpedal. And as Sarah was saying during the break... It's also that she set herself up for weeks as being so nice. Like, if Lucas was pulling this, you would totally let it slide, because he's kind of an a-hole.
Well,
that's his thing.
Let's not forget, as people keep reminding us, editing. It's all in the editing, because if you remember, early on, Ryan kind of came across as the jerk. Like, he didn't want to really talk with anybody. He was kind of by himself and kind of that dark, brooding guy.
Yeah.
So he was kind of coming across as the jerk.
Yeah, he's never said his own name in a song.
Good point.
That's, I mean, I am not judging Delana totally unlike whatever the last week.
Well, you and I together, brother.
There's...
I have not been a Delana fan from the very beginning.
Yeah. Let's see, this is Ryan addressing her again after she knocks some of the people who've been voting for her.
You know, seeing that played back and just hearing things around the house, my thought on Delana right now is that, you know... What she just said to you and the world was the most graceful I've heard her speak, you know, in a while. I thought that was very nice of her. No, I thought that was very nice for her to be the bigger person. But she seems to be the front runner and everyone seems to love her and she has many fans out there. And I think when you're on top, I feel like when you talk down to the people below you, it shows disrespect and it shows just a different side that I don't think people would look up to. So for her benefit, I think she should... you know, be more positive, you know, when she speaks about people.
All right.
Yeah, so...
Do you have that other cut when Lucas said something about...
I don't need an angel.
I don't need somebody...
Well, because she was doing the same thing again of trying to... Of being such a bitch and then trying to, like, cast herself as the maternal, caring figure.
Everybody needs to love everybody. We need to be peace, you know.
Let me, I'm his angel. Let's see, this is...
Because everybody...
Certainly, yeah.
You do? Why is that? Why do you...
Well, if this band... I was getting an interview by Jamie, and I...
Competition.
It all comes down to the...
Hey, then that's Lucas. And why is that?
From 1 hour to the next, he's a different person. Every now and again, he gets one little nerve in me that just wants to punch his lights out.
Well, it's been said in the house that you're really difficult to deal with.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Apparently, you're just two different people.
Who's saying that?
I think Delana wants to save you. I mean, she's so worried about it that she wants to save you. And that you get really moody, you go to a dark place.
Well, tell her to mind her own business.
Bam!
First of all, for Delana even to say something like that to a camera or to anybody, when she doesn't even know who I am, is uncalled for and cheap.
I kind of know who's really serious about this and who is just along for the ride for as long as they can.
So let's name those people right now.
I think Toby is one of those people, and Magni is really set on being with his family.
That's, you know, that's totally a hard sabotaging thing to answer, it.
But at the end of the day, I kept saying to myself, this is still a contest.
Right. I guess we don't have it, but then when they came back, he was like,
yeah.
Lucas said, well, let me just say one thing, like, I don't need an angel, I don't need saving.
Yeah, and he's absolutely right.
Totally.
You know, they're all adults. They can take care of themselves.
So the thing is about, and so Sarah and I were talking during the break about, is Delana being set up to lose or whatever. And well, I don't know that. I do think this. Chris Neathen of Dave Navarro's A Gigantic Douche.com fame made the point that they had to put Storm in the bottom three because they can't let it be a sweep. And I think at the very least, they are pushing the audience to put Delana in the bottom three at least once.
That sounds, and what I was wondering last night, listening to her doing the backpedal, a part of me almost wanted to think that they kind of scripted part of that. They told her to kind of be, you know, maybe not backpedal like that, but try and be a little
like
controversial.
Gracious.
Maybe.
Like maybe they tried to feed her some of that. So, you know, who knows what's going on behind the scenes there?
Who knows? I think we have to take a break here, so if you want to hang on, we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about how this is all going to play out. We'll also talk about the fact that that they are going to be coming to town February 16th. The Supernova tour is coming through here. So hang on. There's Kristen from accounting. If you want to weigh in on last night's episode, it's 503-733-2970. Here's Wednesday 13. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson Show. Hello. It's 503-733. Just a little extra snort there. 503-733-2970. Don't forget, like us comes your way. 3, Don and Mike at 7. John and Jeff Show at 11. Stephanie Miller tomorrow at 6 a.m. And, as of Monday, Stephanie Miller 6 to 10. Extra hour of Stephanie Miller as of Monday, and of course an extra hour of this show as well. Beginning Monday, a 4-hour Rick Emerson Show, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's 503-733-2970. Tomorrow, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com will be here. We're here with Kristen from accounting talking about Rockstar Supernova.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for adding an extra hour onto the show, which gives me an hour less that I can get actual work done.
Many people have made that comment, like, now I will be even less productive. Thank you for getting me fired, you know, so.
Thank you very much.
Let's see. Let's talk to Terry. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Rick. P1 for a long time.
Thank you.
Listen, I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg with the arrogance of Delana. I think that we're just beginning to see her true colors coming out. And that iceberg is deep in that English Channel.
Okay. Yes, those metaphors are rampant. I think that as we've gone on, I think, and I don't know, because it's all in how they edit it, as Kristen said, but it's, I think you kind of have seen more and more of the real person come out with her.
Yeah, I think that we're seeing the real person finally.
Yeah.
And that the more that she gets comfortable with her success, it seems like the more arrogant she gets.
That's the other thing is I think it does, she puts off a vibe that I think she feels like it's within her grasp now.
Right.
And so she can afford just to kind of be bitchy about it.
Yeah.
No,
she's succeeding.
I'm with you. All right. Thank you. All right. There you go. Yes? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, there's a friend of mine that often makes the comment when people tell you that they're Christians. You know, you have these people who are like, I'm a Christian. When they have to tell you they're so, it usually means they're, like, less Christian than most people. Same thing with Delana. When she has to tell you that you need to be peaceful and you need to be loving, she's usually probably the lesser of the loving and peaceful person. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. If you've got to constantly remind us of it, then
when you have to tell people, not
totally. No, I'm with you. This just in, apparently, is from Scotty. Apparently tonight, I wonder what this is in aid of. OPB tonight at 8 p.m. is going to be playing a show with Storm Large, playing something that features Storm Large, but I don't really know what that means.
Well, yeah, because she did that, like, I don't know, like a year or two ago?
I really don't even know what we're referring to.
It was a performance. What? It's like a performance and an interview.
Oh, is it Storm and the Balls?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So,
if I'm thinking of the right thing.
I wonder if that's for family friendly. So apparently tonight, OPB, 8 p.m.
Well, it is OPB.
They will be playing a Storm and the Balls performance. Well, somebody asked me, and then not to be all about me, but somebody had asked me, who had not seen it, they had asked if it was Storm Large that was in Bigger Than Jesus, and the answer is yeah, Storm, if you watch or have seen Bigger Than Jesus, which is a one-man show that I did that we filmed and released, she plays the part of my mom. If you hear it's an offstage part, but if you hear the voice of my mom in Bigger Than Jesus, that's actually Storm, which is great.
Dude, she's your mom.
I know. It's kind of hot in a creepy sort of way. Let's see. What else am I...
The best ending to the show now would be Delana getting stuck with another singer.
Well,
so that she can bitch about it.
I was just going to say, and now, see, I mentioned that theory yesterday because somebody said that Tommy Lee had mentioned it. Did you hear that moment yesterday when inexplicably somebody was like, well, maybe they'll pick both of us? And Delana's like, over my dead body, I would sing with you, Ryan. So why would they even bring that up unless they are considering that? Yes, Horseshack?
Well, did you see when they were showing them rehearsing the Supernova song? They had Storm in there singing it with, Ryan or something?
Really?
They had two of them in the studio singing the song together.
Also this, and again, I don't have any inside information, but I have heard from people who know people who know people. It's always like, you know, my brother's cousin's sister knows a guy who saw Ferris at 31 Flavors and blesses a grip and whatever. I have heard that the final show is four people, the climax show, which is September 13th, that the finale is four people, so they could get rid of two, keep two. So, you know, you figure the finale would be three people, because that's kind of how they do these shows typically, but if they had four people, couldn't you see Tommy Lee doing that, going, dude, bro, it's too hard, I'm going to have to keep Delana and Lucas.
Yeah.
I could totally see it. Let's see, this is, Scotty, should I be taking whoever's on three here? All right. Lisa, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. I just wanted you to mention that, wasn't it Toby that was on film last night?
That is true. Sarah
noticed
that.
He was on film, yes.
That it wasn't just a one-time occurrence with Delana. Yeah, that they did have Toby on film for his performance. So we were afraid that if they showed him on video, it would indicate that the fix was in for Delana. Absolutely.
So that was good.
Yes, absolutely. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. There you go. Let's get one more. This is off topic, I believe. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Well, just on regard to the Britney watch, you know, there wasn't even a thought to have Kevin, you know, watch the kids because, you know, I'm sure he's not doing much.
Would you let that guy, you know, watch one of your knickknacks?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. Yeah.
I also got another thing. Are you going to do any more Vince Van Patten for the big poker thing on Channel 14?
When Sarah and I did the...
Oh, God.
Yeah, the Texas Hold'em thing.
That was quality.
I was really working on my Vince Van Patten too. A lot of like, you're seeing right now why Texas Hold'em is the most exciting game in the world. Or how about this one? Dan doesn't know he's drawing dead. See,
yeah.
it's all about being
good.
Breathless. All right, thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
All right, Kristen.
As long as you don't snort.
snorting, giggling. Now I got to get my brother in here and make him laugh like a girl.
Absolutely.
And then he'll kick my ass. You'll get to hear that, too.
And you know what else somebody mentioned to me? We might want to mention again to people that they can vote more than once. Because I guess a lot of people are still thinking they can only vote once.
Or they think that it's going to cost them to vote a lot. When the thing is, you can either go on Rockstar to MSN, or you can use MSN Messenger and vote repeatedly for free.
And if you have your Verizon phone, my friend Pasha gave me this tip. If you send the first vote,
yes,
and then you lock it and you do the resend, you can resend it like 50 times before your mailbox fills up.
Do you know how much you're actually charged to do that?
Well, see, I have unlimited texting now with my new phone.
Okay, I didn't know if that qualified as that.
Boy, that's totally are just sounding like Storm. Wait, hold on, that's a little. That's totally a little like, I was looking at a Windows MySpace Live, and, all right, thank you, Kristen.
Thanks, you guys.
There you go, Kristen from accounting, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Let's welcome quickly to the Rick Emerson Show.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris. Official stenographer, where are we, sir, with the tally of things gotten to and not?
You got to the Rockstar Recap. Jim Roop, Bob Constantini, the CBS vending machine, and the worst phrase of the day that May, unfortunately, did not get to the top five.
Ah, damn me.
Which puts you at 49. So it's kind of like, will Rick Emerson make 50 push-ups? Tune in tomorrow to find out.
Thank you. Thank you for forward promoting, sir. Thank you. I got to stop that snort. Now I'm noticing it.
Did you guys also notice last night when Toby was doing his bottom three performance? I just thought it was awesome how, for like the court, he ran over and put the mic with Magny and had him sing with him.
You know what? I like that Toby guy.
Did you notice Patrice's lip all of a sudden start bleeding?
and
did anyone see that? That was disgusting.
To blot the blood with Magny's shirt.
Yeah, something was going on in her lip, and she was totally gushing blood during the last part of her song.
Okay, maybe she whacked herself with a microphone. Oh, that'd be really satisfying.
It seemed like it was an uncomfortable condition that she might not have had taken care of.
Oh, we shouldn't discuss it with her. It's a sore spot. Zing! All right, thank you. And good night. Thank you, Chris.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Blah, blah, blah. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah Exilin for AM 970. Solid State Radio in the newsroom, Tim Riley. Scotty J, more than an intern. Manager of the Rick Emerson Office East, Dave Zinn. Number one sports. We want to thank Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy, Bob Costantini. Tomorrow, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. As always, don't let the bastards grade it down. Thank you all for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye now.
I've got a terrible cocaine habit.